This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. That you, this ummah, is the best of all nations. The best of all nations. What will make you understand, my dear brothers and sisters? You want me to give an hour lecture on excellence and being the best? Wallahi, I can. The Sharia is not short of any evidences and sources regarding being the best. The fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was naturally the best, inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been commanded to follow in his footsteps, is a sign. We must be the best, brothers and sisters. We must be the best. Don't be this cold person, just everything laid back, you know? Somebody has to move you all the time. Don't be that person. Be a person who's moving. I'm not saying be a person who acts in haste, no. You know, you get some people laid back, anything's okay, whatever happens. I get to work on this time, it's okay. You know, take a chill pill. Huh? Relax. Nah, this ummah values every second, my dear brothers and sisters. It values every second. Every second counts. Wallahi, every second that ticks on that clock means you and I are closer to our grave. Wallahi, understand this. Every second that ticks means 1 second has passed. We do not have that second with us to make our Jannah beautiful. We do not have that second with us to make our scales of good deeds heavy on the day of Qiyamah. It's gone. You and I always discuss this concept of squeezing the dollar. Get the most you can get out of the dollar spent. Value for money. What about value for seconds? What about value for breath? The breath that you breathe. What about this, my dear brothers and sisters? Wallahi, I wish we had time to discuss this. I wish. You know, I was talking to one of the brothers yesterday about having a vision. He came to me, he said, you know, I want to go to study Islam. I said, why? You know, this is important. Make sure you're not wasting time. What you're doing has some purpose, some meaning. May Allah bring us together to discuss visions. Ameen, ameen, ameen. So we learn this, brothers and sisters. There's no room for being mediocre. We also learn from this, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, and my dear mothers and fathers, the importance of speaking the good about people. Mentioning the good that people have. Sarah, the slave boy, he witnessed goodness in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he passed it on. He didn't keep it hidden. He passed it on. Obviously, Khadija radiallahu anha anticipated getting information, but you understand my point. Today, we quick to mention the mistakes. And the good matters, we keep them hidden. We should be the opposite. The good matters, we should speak. The bad matters, keep hidden. Keep hidden. Unless absolutely necessary. Unless you have to, and have to, and have to mention it. Is that clear? This is what we learn. We also learn, my dear brothers and sisters, the importance of, I use this term, due diligence a lot. It's a very common business term. You know, we run due diligence before we sign contracts. Make sure the companies are up to date. Their books are in order. It's not that they're showing us something. We need to get it audited. Make sure that no one's cooked the books, as they say. Right? The importance of running due diligence when you want to get married. Where do we learn this from? This is a big message for the fathers in the audience. We learn this from Khadija radiallahu anha. She heard great things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But did she use that to marry him? No, she used that to hire him. I heard it. I'll hire him because of that. But marriage, extra care is needed. I need to run more tests. I need to appoint to him my slave boy to travel with him. Because people who put on a show, they can't put that show on 24 hours a day. If you travel with someone, you're going to find out who this person really is. Somewhere along the line. If you trade with him, trade normally, you know, human desire, greed, right? Trade normally brings out a person. She sent him with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go and travel with him and monitor his trade. This is where we will see if he's putting on a show or if he talks the talk and walks the walk. Right? Due diligence. When that information came in, she proposed. Radiallahu anha. This is a lesson for the fathers in the audience. Wallahi, our daughters are more precious to us than our bank balances, and we keep our bank balances hidden. Our daughters should be protected as well. Should be protected. We would not sign our wealth in any partnership except after dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Don't marry off your daughters except after crossing the T's and dotting the I's as well. And we go further, making sure the full stops are there and the commas are there, all the punctuation marks. It's your daughter. It's your daughter. Allah has made you a guardian over her. And when you marry her off, that guardianship transfers to the husband. Make sure you transfer your amanah to a worthy person. Make sure. We learn this from this particular incident. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. And remember the statement of Umar ibn Khattab. I shared it with you during the Dhuhr reminder. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu sought an endorsement, and somebody said, I endorse him. Umar said, how can you endorse him? Have you traveled with him? Have you traded with him? Subhanallah. You see how wise they were? They were wise people. They didn't have computers and advanced medicine and astronauts and space shuttles in space. But look, they had common sense. Today there's so much intelligence, but common sense has gone out the window. Allahu al-musta'an. Allahu al-musta'an. Look at Umar, what he's saying. How can I take your testimony when you just judging this person based on face value? From the moment you saw him in the masjid or saw him reading Quran or, you know, you were on your way to a place and he was with you. This is not enough. This is not enough. You need to have done something substantial with the person that brings out their character. If you've done it, then endorse. This is a lesson for us brothers and sisters. Those who give testimony as well. Sometimes people come to you and say, this boy, this family, yeah, mashallah, very good family, bismillah. Firstly, if you're seeking endorsement for your daughter, go ask somebody who's traded with this person or traveled with this person as a minimum. Or whatever our time cites as something relevant as well. Something relevant as well. That's the first thing. The second thing is when you are approached by somebody and your testimony is being sought, if you really don't know, say you don't know. Or say on face value, this is what I know. As for the nitty-gritties, I don't know. Ad-deen nasiha. Religion is sincere advice. Sincere advice. Note this word sincere. Sincere advice. Not just any advice. Sincere advice. Your iman dictates that you be sincere, my dear brothers and sisters. We also learn from these brothers and sisters that certain cultures that sort of cite delaying in answering the proposal as a defect, as bad manners, then our Sharia abrogates that particular cultural practice and belief. Our Sharia has taught us the importance of due diligence. If it needs time, it needs time. Certain cultures, if you take time, what happens? People feel disrespected. Why are you taking time to give an answer? Right? Certain cultures, there is this emotion present, this belief present. We say that particular belief is abrogated by the Sharia because it does not of the Sharia. The Sharia has commanded towards due diligence. Now, again, I'm not saying we should delay giving the answer when you have the answer. I'm not saying that. But whilst you're running due diligence, if you still need to check, if you still need to ask, if somebody's traveled, you're waiting for this person to return, so you can ask them, and you need that time, you need that time. Don't be pressured by culture to give an answer. And the reason why I'm citing this is because I have witnessed it firsthand. Where answers have been given just out of the fact that, you know what, if we don't, the family will look bad, and the community will treat us badly, and so on and so forth. Peer pressure, right? Peer pressure. No. The way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul has a greater right of being followed and respected and revered and feared than your culture. And then what people will think of. Is that clear, brothers and sisters? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I came across a wise statement. I wanted to share it with you because it's related. A wise statement. Detailing carpentry. To be a carpenter, one of the laws of carpentry is measure twice but cut once. Measure twice but cut once. Because if you cut and make a mistake, it's going to cost you. Same thing with our daughters, brothers and sisters. Measure three times, not twice. Measure three times and cut once. Make sure you have not put her in a home that will make her come back to your home tomorrow. Make sure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our daughters. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the marriage of our daughters that have entered into marriage. Ameen. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the marriages of the Muslims. Ameen. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Before we leave this point, my dear brothers and sisters, a footnote which is related. And that is, as a guardian, and since we're talking about the role of the guardian, as a guardian, you must look for a practicing Muslim who is compatible. And when you look for a practicing Muslim, look for good character. Look for someone who will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your daughter. Listen to this. Look for someone who will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your daughter. Remember this, brothers and sisters. Because good character is a true sign of deen. Insha'Allah. Insha'Allah. A person who fears Allah, this is who you want your daughter to marry. This is who you want your daughter to marry. This person will not beat her. This person will not abuse her. This person will not punish her physically or emotionally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect. Wallahi, the amount of cases that are coming about of females being abused in marriage is not a joke, brothers and sisters. In fact, even one complaint is not a joke. It requires the community to stand up. We need talks about this. This mimbar needs to be used. The Jumu'ah pulpit has to be used, whereby we make clear to the community problems that are becoming rampant and rife. And inshallah, it's not. But as I said, as a Muslim, one case is a lot. One case is enough to nip it by the bud and take the bull by the horns and educate the community about the severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon an oppressor. And we discussed the other day the dua of an oppressed person, and the dua of an oppressed person does not go answered. My dear brothers, do not marry people who will make dua against you. What I mean is, do not be abusive to your spouse. Never ever be abusive to your spouse. And don't think for 1 minute that it's a sign of a man to be abusive. Wallahi, it's the sign of the weakest person. You are the weakest of the weak if you intimidate your wife by raising your voice and by manhandling her. You are the weakest person. I told you the other day when we touched on a point related to this, laysa shadidu bisur'ah. The strong man is not the wrestler. No, the strong man is the man who can suppress his anger when he becomes angry. And wallahi, suppressing anger is from the acts beloved to Allah. It's from the signs of the people of taqwa. You don't believe me? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the fourth juz? In the fourth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and march forth towards the forgiveness of your Lord and a paradise that has a width which is greater than the heavens and the earth. a paradise created for the people of taqwa. Who are the people of taqwa, ya Allah? Allah tells us. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people of taqwa are those who spend from their wealth at times of ease and at times of difficulty. They're always spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And they are those who suppress anger when they become angry. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they forgive the people. It's a habit of theirs to forgive the people. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest example for you and I in terms of having a habit to forgive the people. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And brothers and sisters, Allah will love you for suppressing your anger. Because Allah says, those who suppress are those who do good. And Allah loves the doers of good. Once a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, oh Sini, advise me. He said, la taghdab. He said, advise me. He said, la taghdab. He said, advise me. He said, la taghdab. This person said, advise me. Three times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't become angry. May Allah bless our characters. We build our Jannah when we're with our spouses. Make sure it's a Jannah building exercise, not a Jahannam building exercise, brothers and sisters. May Allah forgive us all. Ameen. Ameen. So, brothers and sisters, look for a person with good character. This is what Khadija radiallahu anha did. Find someone who will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your daughter. And even though it's sad, and even though we're running out of time, I must add this addition. And that is, it's not enough if the boy is a hafiz of the Quran or graduate from some Islamic university. I hate to say it, but sadly it's true. Institutions nowadays teach what they're supposed to teach. They rarely give you tarbiyah and teach you proper Islamic morals and manners and etiquettes. So it doesn't mean that a person has memorized the Quran that by default they're going to be from the best people that exist in our times. So don't be against shallow. Yes, it's praiseworthy if he's hafid and he's a graduate from an Islamic institute, but plus sign, good character. Plus sign, good character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. A related point, my dear brothers and sisters, as well. And that is, a question, are we allowed to go forward with our daughters if we see a good boy? We see a good boy and we have a daughter. Are we allowed to go forward and propose? What do you think? No? Yes. And this we learn from Khadija radiallahu anha. This is what she did. And there's nothing in Islam that abrogated this or taught us that this was a wrong practice. Right? There's nothing in Islam that taught us this was a wrong practice. We need to do that today, especially since fathers, we're supposed to keep our daughters protected. Keep them modest. Today, subhanAllah, I'm amazed by some of the parents. Daughters need to be out so the boys can see them. Otherwise, how will they get married? Alhamdulillah, where are you adopting the... Where is common sense, wallahi? What has happened? Common sense is not so common. Or maybe it's become Zimbabwe sense. You know, the Zimbabwe currency doesn't exist anymore. Worthless sense. Allahu musta'an. I'm amazed by these statements, wallahi. It's your job to get your daughter married. You keep a lookout, alhamdulillah. You go to the masjid. You frequent the right places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our understanding. This, you know, we spoke about Khadija. Even if you look at the story of Musa with the man from Midian, the sheikh, the old wise man from Midian, did he not offer his daughter to Musa alayhi salam? He did. Surah Al-Qasas. Ayyuhal Imam. In Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that Musa alayhi salam, he helped the two females and they went to tell their father about this person. He came forward. And he said, أريد أن أنكحك إِحْدَى ابْنَتَيَّ. He's saying to Musa, I want to get married to you, one of my two daughters. Well, I'm offering you one of my two daughters in marriage. So this was the way of wise people as well. And the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it as a way. Right? So don't feel, and again, this is the thing, culture. If we put our daughter, it's like we made our daughter cheap. Allahu Akbar ya akhi. You've honored your daughter. You are proactively looking for her solace for the rest of her life. This is not putting her down and making her cheap. This is you doing a duty which Allah has put upon you. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Also, from the Sahaba, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, did he not offer his daughter to Uthman ibn Affan, and then to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her? Did he not go forward? We know the famous story. He was getting upset. Why is it not being accepted? Abu Bakr also not being accepted. Because Allah had a greater plan for him, that the best man married his daughter, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our sisters the best of husbands, ameen. And grant our brothers the best of wives, ameen. We also learn from these brothers and sisters that marriage, or the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a modest, proper manner. In a modest, proper manner. No one can say it was an improper marriage. We've seen her father, or in some other narrations, her uncle took care of the affair. And Khadija radiallahu anha sent someone to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of her desire to get married. Not so. It was done properly. It was none of this girlfriend, boyfriend, business and the like. Right? And no one, subhanallah, can poke a finger at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the many enemies and the many things they lie about him, and blame his modesty or the modesty of Khadija radiallahu anha before they got married. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So look, jahiliyyah, but look how proper this was done. Remember yesterday we said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he was sent to complete the most noble of characters, which means these people had some very good qualities. They had some very good qualities, right? And this is from one of their qualities. We also learn, brothers and sisters, that the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a substantial marriage, not a shallow marriage. Not one of these quote-unquote love marriages. You know the love marriages. You know, someone comes to me and says, Sheikh, you know, I fell in love with her. I say, subhanallah, do you need to go to the hospital? He gets confused. So what happened? I said, you just told me you fell. Falling was never good. Whenever was falling good for you? Right? You fell in love, you fell. When you fall, you get hurt. Right? And same to our sisters. Islam didn't tell us to fall in love. Islam told us to grow in love. Allahu Akbar. That's how marriages last. You grow in love with each other. You don't fall in love with each other. When things fall, they deplete. You know, when we were in school, one of my teachers said, you see, marriages, there's a study which says marriages last 7 years. Or with 7 years, there's love. After 7 years, the love starts falling. Islam tells us to grow in love. Look at the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Aisha radiallahu, with Khadija radiallahu anha. Substantial, not shallow. Not shallow. Nothing of, you know, we have to go out together and see, you know, how she is, and she wants to see how he is. And, you know, you get married. Imagine how boring your marriage becomes. Such a boring marriage. You married her, you knew what her favorite color was. She knew what your favorite color was. The restaurant, what she likes to eat, what she said. You already bored here. You got married and there was nothing for you to learn. Where's the fun in that? And plus on top of it, you're doing haram. Surely, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. Marriage is always the best way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perfect proof. Perfect proof. Wallahi, we just had. When she passed away, radiallahu anha, what was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying about her? Even his other wives were becoming jealous, growing in love. Even after one passes away, another man, the party that stayed behind with every waking day has his love for her grown. You know what we learn from the seerah and from the sunnah? that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if there was an animal that was slaughtered, he would send meat as a gift to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. Because of his love, growing love for her, not falling love, growing love for her radiallahu anha. This is what he used to do. This is what he used to do. I think I don't have to share further evidences. It's clear. Nobody's looking at the time today because this topic is very interesting. MashaAllah. So, brothers and sisters, when you plant halal seeds, you have halal fruits. If your marriage from the outset is halal, everything about the marriage will be halal and be good. If you plant haram seeds, tomorrow expect problems. May Allah forgive us. Except marriages that Allah then showers His mercy upon because they ask forgiveness from Allah. I'm not saying it's doom and gloom. If you made a mistake before, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness. Right? But this is what you should teach your children. Halal roots gives birth to halal fruits. Halal. So, mashallah, the rain is falling as well. This is a topic of barakah, alhamdulillah. So the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great support. And this is also manifest after prophethood when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one of the most scariest things a person can see. A mighty angel, Jibreel alayhi salam. He was mighty. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him. He's below on the ground and he's above in the heavens, hundreds of wings. If he opened one, there'll be traffic jams all the way to the west. And if he opened the other, traffic jams all the way to the east. Mighty angel. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him and is humanly scared. And he runs home, not to his house, home to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And she says to him, don't worry. Kalla, wallahi la yuhzik Allahu abada. Allah will never, ever, ever, ever disgrace you. I've seen you. You're a good man. You're honest. You help the poor. You maintain relations. Don't worry. What you saw will get the answer to it. But now calm down. Look at the soothing voice. Look at these soothing words. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, if you have wives that can do this for you, wallahi, buy them another gold set, they deserve it. I told you, sisters, I'm coming back to support you. They deserve it. Because many sisters, it's sad to say again today, they don't have this character and quality with their husbands. Very selfish relationship. Your husband comes home from work distressed. Make the home an abode. That's how you make the home an abode. By being a spouse. Look what she said to him. And then it wasn't only that. She said, don't worry, we'll find out. We'll go to Waraqa. I have someone, a relative. We'll find out the reality here. But look, look how she took over. Right? A person is quote unquote decapacitated. What happened? She took over. Strength to one another. Pillars to one another. Support to one another. She's calming him down. Don't worry. He's shivering. He's wrapped in blankets and cloth. Don't worry, Allah will never disgrace you. This can only be good because you are only a good person and we will find the explanation. Khadija radiallahu anha. Brothers and sisters, marriage, wallahi, we have to finish this today. And I know all the listeners are listening. They don't mind this going up to quarter past 10. But we will finish shortly, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reality of marriage in his book. Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Why? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, and from the signs that Allah exists, and from the signs that lead you to Allah, look what Allah says. This is no small matter. Allah is roping in our attention that if you want to know about Allah and that Allah is the truth, then one of the signs that show you this is the fact that He created you from yourselves mates. that you may find tranquility with them, in them. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا.
You extract peace from them. Subhanallah. A person who will make your bricks and steal a home and an abode. That's what makes a home, wallahi. It's not the fancy design and architecture. It's the reality and nature of the female in it. Allah says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. That you may take peace from her. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah has placed between you both مَوَدَّةً. Mutual love. Substantial love. Not just hub. Hub is also love in the Arabic language. But it's not as deep as مَوَدَّةً. مَوَدَّةً is an in-depth love. مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً and mercy. Allah says, in-depth love and mercy. Allahu Akbar. Somebody said, you see, in-depth love for when in the honeymoon period. When they always maintain each other and overlook each other's mistakes because there's love between them. And mercy, when they get older and the love finishes, then they be merciful to one another. Even though they have mistakes, they overlook it. مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Rahmah, this word mercy. This is what Allah has done. Right? You know, I remember when I was in my early years of studying Islam, one of my teachers said, you know, you must not have a marriage, the marriage of grocery packets. I said, marriage of grocery packets? What's a marriage of grocery packets? He said, you don't know the marriage of grocery packets? I said, no. What is the marriage of grocery packets? I've never heard this. Is this a Middle Eastern thing or what? Because the marriage of grocery packets is all over the world. I said, Allahu Akbar, what is the sheikh? He said, it's the marriage where the spouses have two grocery packets. One grocery packet in their right hand and one in the left hand. When the spouse does good to them, they put it in the good packet. And when the spouse does bad to them, they put it in the bad packet. But there's a big problem. I said, what's the problem, Sheikh? He said, the good packet, there's a hole at the bottom. So whenever the good is being deposited, it's falling out. So the day a problem arises, the spouse looks at the good, sees nothing. Looks at the bad, sees it full. And says, you are nothing but a problem. No. We shouldn't have the marriage of grocery packets, brothers and sisters. We also learn from this seerah, or this incident in the seerah, the value of the R of responsibility versus the R of rights. There's an R, which is the R of responsibility. And there's an R, which is the R of rights. Many marriages today are based on rights. It's as if there's a bank balance opened between husband and wife. Husband deposits, wife deposits. Husband withdraws, wife withdraws. And then they close the books at the end of the day. If one day the wife did more than the husband, husband's a problem. One day husband did more than the wife, wife's a problem. The marriage of the bank account. Deposit and withdrawal. This is not marriage, brothers and sisters. This is not marriage. Marriage entails emotion. Right? Mutual consent. There has to be cohesion. We can't have marriages based on the R of rights. Yes, the Sharia has said rights. The rights of the husband. The rights of the wife. Yes. But when do we look at rights? When there's no way forward for this marriage. Then we say, okay, let's look at the rights and see who's right and who's wrong. But there's another sphere and another circle known as the R of responsibility. And this sphere is far greater than the R of rights. This is where you understand that I am a wife to my husband and my husband is a husband to me. Or the husband says, I'm a husband to my wife and she is a wife to me. It's not tit for tat. It's not tit for tat. And we learn about having marriages are based on responsibility from this story, brothers and sisters. Let's look at it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was his right to provide the house for Khadija, but he was living in her house. Did she one day say that, you know what, you're supposed to be providing and you're not providing? So I'm going to do A, B, C, D and you can't complain because you're living in my house? No. Let's move further. Ali radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to look after him. Whose house do you think he's coming to? Khadija's house. Did she say, you're not providing me for a house? It's my right that you give me a house. And now you want to bring your nephew here? Your cousin? You want to bring your cousin here? Ali was the cousin, correct? Ali radiallahu anhu was his cousin. You want to bring your cousin here now? Now you must look after him as well? What about me? What about my privacy? What have you done for me? No. She happily welcomed him. And the books of history say she looked after Ali as if Ali was her son. Is that the art of rights or the art of responsibility? Responsibility, I'm a wife to my husband first. Now let's rewind. I told you at the beginning, Khadija radiallahu anha was married how many times before? Twice. She had a child. Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya and other scholars, I recall reading this in Al-Isti'ab, a book by Ibn Abdul Barr, and I recall reading this also in At-Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd. They say that Khadija radiallahu anha, when she married Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had a child called Hind. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, it's not my child? My responsibility is to you. The rights is between me and you. Not this boy here. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He was like a father to him. This is what the books of history say. Hind preferred him as a father over anybody else. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, responsibilities. Not always nitpicking, tit for tat. Subhanallah. You know, there's so much we can say. There's so much we can say. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There's two talks I want you to go listen to. It's online as your homework. Number one is the personality trait versus the character trait. I want you to listen to this talk. It's a short talk. Google it. The personality trait versus the character trait. Sajid Umar. It will come up in Google. A brief talk. It's going to help you understand why you should be extra careful before you marry your daughters. Find out exactly the character of people. The personality versus the character. The personality trait versus the character trait. Sajid Umar, Google it, it will come up. The next talk, responsibility versus rights. Sajid Umar. It's an 18-minute talk. It was a Jumu'ah talk. The referees are about to not pull out cards. They're about to come out with sticks now. So I'm just giving you the talks that you can go and listen to. Responsibility versus rights in marriage. Sajid Umar, Google it, it will come up. It's an 18-minute talk, 18 to 20 minutes. It was a Jumu'ah talk that I did in Zimbabwe, if I recall. The audio is there, listen to it. Will you do that, inshallah? Barakallahu fiqh. And if you find it beneficial, spread it. Tayyib, we also learn, brothers and sisters, this is the last thing I'm going to say, the importance of not closing the doors to widows in our society. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, this is the second last thing I want to say, because there's one more point I want to say before we end. I have to say to complete it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married a widow. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't have the ability to, as I said, support a widow, because you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you want to celebrate his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he married a widow that he loved and never loved anybody else like from his wives sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So celebrate his life, go find a widow, support her, support her children, right? A widow's children needs a father figure as well. Be there in some way or form to advise. They're also Muslims. They have a right to grow up to be amazing in society. Especially since you and I are interdependent beings. If one Muslim is not carrying their weight, even though you think it's not affecting you, believe it's affecting you. Because Allah made us interdependent. We all have to carry our weight. So we should feel the need to even go and do some good for the widow's children so they can grow up to be excellent as well, for the community needs this, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah grant us the understanding. The last thing is, this is how we answer back the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say things about him that wallahi I cannot get myself to say, because he married Aisha radiallahu anha. They say things about him, may Allah guide him. They say things about him. This is the response that you're talking about a man who at 25 married a widow who was married twice before and she was 40, almost twice his age. This is the evil of looking always at half of the story and not looking at the other half, not being just. May Allah guide them, and may Allah forgive us for our weakness in not defending the honor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Brothers and sisters, so much can be said, wallahi, so much can be said. But this is the dunya. Time comes and time goes. In Jannah, we have unlimited time. I love you all for the sake of Allah. May Allah grant us the understanding, everything correct, said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Please take care. Please get your action plans together. Tomorrow, the last 10 nights begin. And you and I have a lot to do. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.